I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's go, let's go, come on.
Let's be clear.
Shrine of Duty.
You're being interviewed today as a witness, not as a suspect.
The official, unofficial podcast.
My team will get to the root of anything.
Shrine of Duty.
Hello and welcome to Shrine of Duty. Quarantelli episode number, we don't have a clue. Seven.
Oh, stop.
Seven. I think it's seven. I think it's seven. But it's week 107.
Yeah, it's week 107, and it's June, guys.
Say your name.
Oh, hi, I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rebecca.
I think the prompt is now also a thing. Like every week, like I have to be prompted. So like that's part of the intro now.
Well, like Hannah's in a car and you're in a wardrobe and I'm in a makeshift home office. Like nothing's normal.
Well, I see your goldfish in the background there.
Oh yeah, Gillian's over there. Look at her, guys. We're on Skype, by the way, for people who are listening. We're on Skype, so we can see each other, which makes us enjoy this a lot more because it feels like we're all in the same room.
It does.
There's Gillian. Hello, girl.
And come here, we probably must explain our absence.
Oh yeah, we must. There were some technical difficulties.
It was also very sunny.
Yeah, sometimes technical difficulties sound like a lie, but like we were genuinely ready to go.
Yeah.
We had loads of stuff lined up last week.
Yeah.
It was 35 degrees. I was sitting in a black car fearing for mon life.
Yeah.
Temperature.
It was roasting.
And then it just wouldn't work. So it actually worked out for the best.
Yeah, it did.
Nice and damp today.
Yeah, it's less hot for you to be sitting in a car.
Yeah, like I literally couldn't string a sentence together last week. Like God knows what would have happened on the podcast if it went ahead. So
guys, I've missed speaking to you.
When was our last episode? It wasn't a month ago, surely.
No, it
was
probably
Victor,
2 weeks.
Probably 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. That was
Which
brilliant.
Was so interesting. And
so
like
interesting.
I follow him now and I love all the stuff he puts up. And I just
Me
really
too.
Feel like he's, you know, he's a friend of the podcast, guys.
I was just about to say, I think we can call him a friend of the podcast.
Oh my God. Well, actually, last week when I phoned both of you on Skype when we were trying to record, Rebecca was like, Rebecca answered, she's like, I think Victor's on this call. And I was like, oh, I just did the last group dial that we had.
Victor's phone would have been ringing.
I was like, I'm so sorry. I just hung up really quickly. I
remember afterwards when he hung up and like we stayed on to like say how nice he was and how stunning his house was because we were on Skype to him and he was in a gorgeous room. But like his name was still at the bottom of the call. We were like, oh God.
Like he could have just popped back on.
I mean, we said nothing but nice things.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 weeks since we gathered. So who's been watching what?
Will I go?
Oh, go.
I've been watching loads, guys. Finished New Girl. I'm really glad I left that phase of my life
Well
behind.
Done.
Thank you. It was absolutely brilliant. And I cried in the last episode, but it meant I could move on. So I watched 2.5 episodes of White Lines, which I heard was honestly one of the most appalling shows ever written. Like people were texting me like, hey, did this get made? And this is a joke. And so I had like absolutely no expectations and I quite enjoyed it.
Hannah, you have to agree though. It's like, it's good, bad or bad, good. Like it's muck.
Brendan, I've watched worse muck than that. I think I was honestly expecting like nearly a parody of like the crime genre. So I think I was so like pillowed into what to expect when I went in. It wasn't as bad as I thought. So I'm getting into that.
Now, Hannah, it does, like all I'll say to you is you've seen 2 episodes, right? I absolutely loved it, but it gets crazy.
It's like
It gets
you guys
gray.
Finished it.
Oh, I hate watched it. Like, I hate watched it. But I I enjoyed it, and I kind of liked the last episode, and I was definitely there for Boxer, that his character, loved him.
Gorgeous.
But yeah, there was loads of bits. Like, first of all, so it's they make a big thing. It's all about Ibiza, and then they film it in bloody Mallorca, and you don't get any, like... Don't, like, at least get a drone and give me some panoramic shots.
Bring us
Pasha. Do you know what I mean? Give me the exterior of some club that looks recognisable as Ibiza. And they didn't do that. Also, they flash back to 1996 quite a lot. And they play songs that were not out in 1996. And I'm like, what? Like, they're on this house party in Manchester, like, dancing to, like, something from 2019.
The one thing I can't deal with now is when the sister speaks directly to the camera. I know that she, it was like this trick that they were doing where she was on FaceTime, but that made me want to like crawl inside myself. Like,
it reminded me of Carrie in season 1 and 2 of Sex and the City when you were like, what are you doing? Like the old episodes, Carrie used to talk to the camera and it was diabolical.
Like it's a really, it's a rare television moment when you can break the fourth wall and get away with it. And not in a serious drama. I don't think it's the place. So watch that. I watched Brassic in a week. I have to say, I think they obviously got a huge budget for season 2. Like, the wardrobe, Joe Gilgan, Jesus Christ. Every outfit that man wears needs to be in some sort of ASOS, like, edit. He looked absolutely incredible. I thought the writing had, like, upped its game. I thought the storylines were better. Just, like, next level.
Yeah.
Cried, laughed. I just thought it was absolutely amazing. I'm so glad it's getting the budget it deserves. I'm already renewed for season 3, so couldn't have loved that anymore.
Did we tell you that we interviewed Damian Maloney, who's in Brassic, a day after the three of us interviewed Victor Jenkins, and he told us that they go to the gym together?
Oh my God.
No,
no, this is the weirdest moment of all time. We were like, oh, chatting to him, and we were like, oh yeah, like the split. And he was like, yeah, the casting director. And I was like, is that Victor? And he was like, do you know Victor? And I was like, yeah, we interviewed him yesterday.
We're like, hon, we were on FaceTime in a sitting room yesterday.
And he was like, yeah, we go to the gym together. And we were like, this is mad.
So weird.
I'm trying to not be screechy because it'll be so annoying in the podcast. We're like, I want to scream. That's outrageous.
It is.
We were howling.
Also, didn't realise you guys were the ones that told me that he was from Dublin.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to pick his accent out in Brassic.
I think he's from Kildare.
It's flawless, so fair play.
I think he's from Kildare, is he?
Oh, sorry.
I think he's
from
Kildare.
That he's Irish, that he's not.
Have you watched Game Face yet?
That accent, Brassic. No, and it's on my effing list and I really will get around to it.
Yeah, it's so good.
I read the book Little Fires Everywhere for my book club.
Can I borrow that book or is it on a Kindle?
And I promise after I've started, it's on a bloody Kindle, but I could give you my Amazon login. Look, we'll deal with this offline.
Oh yeah.
We can have, like, you'll read it in like 3 days. You'll read it really fast and it's
Oh, Hannah, your line's a bit dodge. We're losing you, hon.
Oh, Brendan, sorry, I thought it was just me that
No, she's gone. Are you back?
I'm back.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, you're back. Brilliant.
Guys, I stayed on the Wi-Fi when I was out in the garden. I should have gone on to the 4G. I fixed it now.
That's all right. Great. So, come here. You read Little Fires Everywhere?
Read Little Fires Everywhere. And then I left watching the show as a treat for when I finished it. I didn't want any of my like opinions of the characters to be affected by like who was cast in the show and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've just started the show now. They have changed a couple of things. I think Kerry Washington, who I obviously love, I think she's a little bit older than the character in the book. So that's jarring with me a little bit. But other than that, I'm really enjoying it. It's a really good mystery. And obviously, Reese is amazing.
What's it about, Hannah?
It is about two families. So Kerry Washington plays a character called Mia and her daughter Pearl. She is an artist. They live out of her car and they sort of travel all around America and they'll do a short-term rental in a state. She'll work on a series of photographs and once she's finished with the series, 6 or 7 months, they'll move on and that's the life they've always lived. And then it's Reese Witherspoon who is playing a character that's so similar to Madeline.
Oh, really?
They live in this town called Shaker, which is actually a real town, and it's where the author Celeste NG is from, who wrote the book. And it sounds insane, like Stepford Wives, like they measure the length of the grass, and you know, everyone that goes to Shaker gets into these incredible colleges, and there's all these insane rules, and your house has to be like, there's duplexes, but they don't advertise them as duplexes, so it looks like all the houses are filled with rich families, like these crazy rules. Anyway, she's rich and she ends up renting out her rental to Mia, and both of their families cross over, and then lots of things ensue, like relationships and sort of issues like that. They've actually cast, in the book it's not expressed that Mia and her daughter Pearl are black, but they've cast two black actors, obviously Kerry Washington, not sure what the daughter is called in the show.
Yeah.
That obviously brings in a whole other section of issues that they have with Reese Witherspoon's character, who's like very ignorant and privileged and just white. And yeah, it's really good. It's interesting. But basically it starts off with a fire. So Madeline or Reese Witherspoon's house burns down to the ground and you don't know who does it. And then it goes kind of back.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I definitely, I want to read it and then I want to watch it.
Read it and then watch it. That's exactly what I'd recommend. So far, the book is better than the show.
Now, we must say that we have a really, 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 really interesting interview coming up.
Yes.
In a few minutes. Reb, do you want to tell us about it?
Yes, we're going to be speaking to Emer O'Shea, who is a very close friend of mine and friend of the podcast as well, I'd like to say. She is a long-time listener of the podcast. So Emer works in TV and film. She is a production executive for Element Pictures. So she has worked on everything from The Favourite to Room, Oscar-nominated Room, to most recently Normal People. So we're going to be chatting to her all about her job and the behind-the-scenes goss.
Love
Dublin
a bit of
Murders
goss.
Also, isn't it?
Dublin Murders as well.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
How could I forget?
Yeah.
Our fave.
It's like we've been holding back. It's like she's been such a perfect person to interview and an incredible connection, but we were just waiting for the right moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're going to be chatting to her very shortly.
Chatting to her in a few minutes. What else have you been watching?
I think that's my lot.
That's your lot, is it?
I think so. But what I will say is Sky have launched a new channel. If you are a Sky viewer, you can kind of access it in the back end of Sky. It's called Sky Documentaries. Oh. And it's basically just a place where they've curated or collected all their documentaries. And I had a flick through last night. There's, I'd say, well over 100. And holy Jesus, there was about 80 that I already want to watch.
Now, have you, because I know it's there because I've seen it on Now TV, so same. Have you ever seen The Jinx?
Absolutely, Brandon.
Yeah, okay, Grant. We've probably had this conversation, but it's my number. Whenever somebody looks for a documentary recommendation, I'm like, The Jinx, it's the first.
It was the OG one. True crime,
oh,
wasn't it?
My
like,
God.
Making a Murder and everything was way out. Like, The Jinx was.
I must watch it again.
The man's eyes are just fucking.
But you
black.
Know that he put contact lenses in to make him look doe eyed.
Yeah. To make him look like Bambi.
To make him look doe eyed. He put these.
No, he looked like death.
He did. I don't think he got the desired effect.
So the juries would feel sorry for him,
so
and think that he was
like
innocent.
Basically, he wanted to look like Puss from Shrek.
Puss and Boots.
Puss and Boots.
You got it all wrong.
How did you convict Puss and Boots?
Maybe if he put a bit of mascara on.
I don't know, like the pupils. He looked like he was dropping yolks all night. Do you know what I mean? They were huge.
Fucking hell. And you know the bit in the bathroom at the end?
Oh,
we'll
stop.
Leave it at that.
Stop. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah,
chilling.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Brendan, what have you been watching?
I also watch White Lines. I loved, hated it, loved Boxer. I actually was really interested in his character. Oh, also, they've like commissioned a season two, haven't they? So that's happening.
Yeah, apparently they were scouting locations before the pandemic.
Yeah, scouting locations, not in Ibiza.
But guys, the soundtrack. You know all I do? It's been sunny in Ireland for like the last, I don't know, month or two since the quarantine started.
Yeah,
the weather's been unbelievable. I sit out in my garden and blare the White Lines soundtrack every day. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My neighbors have small children. They must be like, what's wrong with her?
Rebecca,
it's like
those views are the reason they think they're coming back for season two. It's that engagement.
Yeah. But like the soundtrack is
great. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
The guy from Unforgotten season.
Yes. Which I scream at. He's a brilliant actor.
Gorge.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. Done all.
Yes, I did White Lines. I've done a couple of episodes of Selling Sunset, but I've realised that the reason that I was so hooked on season one was I was dying to see how the mansion finished when it was built. And then they showed you that in the first 30 seconds of the second season. And I think I've done two or three episodes. It's just not holding my interest.
it's, you want a grand design.
Yeah, you want a house program, but like, sorry, my laptop charger just needs to be charged. This is very unprofessional.
Brenton, have you watched The World's Most Extraordinary Homes on Netflix?
No, I haven't. And I think you've told me about this before. Yeah.
I have.
Yeah, you have. I must watch it.
I'm blue in the face telling people about it. And it's as if you won't love it. Like, just watch it.
I will. To be honest, I really haven't been watching much. Like, so I did White Lines. I've done two or three episodes of Selling Sunset. And I've just today... So for the purposes Rebecca's of people listening who can't see the video, Rebecca is now rearranging her home office. She's under the desk.
She's on the floor.
Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to charge this laptop. This is very unprofessional. Keep going.
So, all I've watched is White Lines, one or two episodes of Selling Sunset, and I've just started the Jeffrey Epstein documentary today.
Now, I watched all four episodes.
Oh yeah, Hannah, I watched it at the weekend. What did you think?
So I thought that I'm not really into watching stuff like that. I love a documentary, but when stuff is so gross and so dark, I'm just like, no. But I really enjoyed it. I watched it all in one day because I was kind of like, I want to watch this and then move on and not be dwelling on it or dreaming about it or whatever. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I've just started episode two, but like obviously I know like a lot about it, but I'm definitely learning bits that I didn't know, and like
I didn't realize really he was as prolific as he was, and then I think they did a really good job of really giving some of his survivors a platform.
Yeah.
So I found that very upsetting. Like I bawled out watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that the weekend. I knew a lot about, like, I read a lot of stuff about it, but when you actually watch them and hear the women speak and everything and kind of realize how many people were involved in everything.
How many people.
It's terrifying, and a lot of questions that still haven't been answered with
like
it.
Like, even the way he recruited girls to recruit girls.
It was then, a pyramid scheme, like they said.
They just felt like...
And went after people who've been abused as well. But he went after really vulnerable people who didn't have any money, who had been through, you know, abuse before and everything. It's a horrific watch, but it's a really important thing to watch, I think, because a lot of the time, like the story just becomes about the perpetrator and not about the survivors.
So that's me. That's what I've been watching. We're going to call Emer in a second, but quickly, Reb, what have you been watching?
I watched White Lines as well. I absolutely loved it. Drivel reminded me of going on holidays, and like I just absolutely loved it. It's exactly what I needed in quarantine. It's like complete escapism. Schitt's Creek, obsessed. Watch an episode every day at my dinner. It's gas. I didn't really get it at the start. Took a couple of episodes. Catherine O'Hara, iconic. Great fun. All on Netflix. And there is a final... I think there's an episode on Netflix for when you finish the whole thing and like they make the last season. It's behind the scenes documentary.
I've seen people talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch that. And Selling Sunset, literally the hills grown up with real estate. What more could you want? Like there's 8 episodes at the end of the series. They showed a preview for the next series. It's coming out on the 7th of August. Like I'm going to have a viewing party for that because we'll be in phase 5 of our restrictions lifting. And I can't wait. So I've been watching a lot of Drivel. Apart from the Jeffrey Epstein documentary, I have been sitting out on my ass in the sun and reading books. Where the Crawdads Sing changed my life.
Yeah, I'm just over halfway through that book.
So beautiful.
24 hours I read it in, but I want to read it again because I loved it so much.
One more show I totally forgot about, The Big Flower Fight on Netflix.
I haven't started
it. Me and Craig watched it over a couple of evenings. Rebecca just reminded me there when she said so much fun. It's just really beautiful. I got absolutely trashed in The Guardian because they were like, guys, like the X Factor is people that want to be a singer. Like Bake Off is people that want to bake. What the fuck is this? Like it's people that want to, it's not floristry. Like it's like make a dress out of flowers or like make a giant flying insect. And you're, do you know what I mean?
It's absolutely so ridiculous. Extra.
So extra. There's so many flowers. The teams are all amateurs. I think there's one florist out the whole mix. There's like a father and son. He just likes gardening and the son just came along for the crack. There's like couples. There's 2 Irish landscapers who don't have a clue about flowers. So it's very accessible and very fun and very camp and over the top and like a really nice watch. And like Rebecca said with Schitt's Creek, something you put on when you're watching your dinner or... if you're just overwhelmed by the world right now and you just need to go to a happy place.
Absolutely. Forget everything for a few minutes. I'm definitely going to watch that, Anna. And after once I go through Schitt's Creek, that will be my next would I call it a dinner show?
A dinner show. It'll fill that gap. It will be your dinner show.
My dinner show. Fantastic. So we are going to now ring producer extraordinaire Emer O'Shea, hopefully.
If I can remember her Skype name, it is...
Oh, well, I won't read it out. Well, we'll have to take this out of the podcast.
Yeah,
will
just tell me and I'll cut it out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And now we are joined on the line and in front of us, Emer O'Shea. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Emer. How are you?
Hi, Emer.
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, also great. Missing the sun now that it's gone in a bit.
How's lockdown life treating you?
It's okay. Actually, it's better than others. I've been working throughout, so I'm very fortunate there. And as I'm sure you know, I was really busy with normal people originally, and then we had the excitement of normal people. So that carried me through a bit. And we still have quite a few projects. We were fortunate that we'd shot a couple of projects prior to lockdown. So we have a lot of work that we can continue to do on them now. And then just hope that towards the end of this year, we might be able to start shooting again.
So Emer, what is it that you do? Please explain to the listeners.
So I am the production executive at a film and television company in Dublin. And basically what that is project management across all of our film and TV productions. So I would get involved with projects in the late development stage. When there's a script that's almost ready to be financed, we usually take a look at it then. And then I oversee it right through prep, shoot, post-production, delivery. And once we have a final film or a final TV series, I send it to distributors, broadcasters, whoever. And once it's on your TV or it goes to a film festival, that's my job done. So I would tend to work on projects for about a year and a half to 2.5 years on average. And could be working on up to 6 at a time.
Wow.
And then the day-to-day is just, you know, it's different every day because you're working with different people all the time. Every project is different. So, yeah, it's good fun. But, yeah.
It sounds like it's really busy.
It is really busy. So people think it's really glamorous, but it's, you know, there's nice things at the end of the line if you do get to go to a film festival or if your project does well and it ends up in awards or something like that. But it can be long hours. It can be stressful. You're constantly up against the clock. You have shoot dates. You have, you know, delivery dates. So it is. It's busy. You have to be on the ball, and yeah, I'm willing to put in the hours. But it's really, you know, worthwhile. It's really satisfying for me when I read a script and 2 years later there's a film or a TV show in front of me. So yeah. Nice.
Emer, have you ever read a script for something and just known there and then that it's going to be like unbelievable? Like, you've obviously worked on The Favourite, Room, Dublin Murders, most recently Normal People. Like, what's been your favourite project that you've ever worked on?
It's hard to say. I think when you read a script, it depends. Because, for example, with Room and Normal People, they were adapted from novels. So there was the original material. So you do, you know, we did know that, or hoped it was, they were going to be good. So I think the example you used, The Favourite, I knew was going to be incredible. And that was directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, who also did The Lobster. And when I read The Lobster, it was bonkers, but I just knew that it was something special. And then my favorite project, I don't know, it depends, because sometimes you could have really good material, but you mightn't necessarily get on with everyone you're working with. And then there could be something you don't like as much, but you just adore everyone you're working with. So it depends. I think the most special project I ever worked on was Room, because it was quite early in my career. And I remember sitting down and watching it for the first time and just getting this gut feeling that we had something really special.
That so truck that was scene in Room every time gets me.
Yeah.
Like, it is so emotional.
Mm. Yeah. But then even with Normal People, so, you know, Daisy and Paul, who are the leads, were unknown. So we knew they were really talented, but you never know, you know, how it's going to go. And I guess the rush is after every day of shooting, which is just the material they've shot each day. So I remember last year just watching certain scenes and again getting that gut feeling and just knowing that this is going to be big. And I was crying at my desk. And this is when you're watching this, just the same scene over and over and over. And they're so on the ball the entire time that that's when I was like, okay, this is big. I think that's when I started going around to everyone saying, look out for Normal People. I think we've got a good one here. So.
And Eva, you only just got that finished filming, because you were only in Sweden. Was it in January finishing up all those scenes?
Oh, I was in Sweden in March. So.
What? Was it March?
Wow. Yes. So basically, Marianne obviously goes on Erasmus to Sweden, and we wanted to wait until there was snow there. So we knew it was going to have to at least be winter. And then Daisy was doing a play, so it had to be when she'd finished the play. So it ended up being March. So I went to Sweden just to help out with the shoot, and was there for 4 days. And I flew home on a Sunday. And on the Thursday was when Leo announced the lockdown. So we we got everything done in the nick of time.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was that close.
I'm so grateful that we had that show to watch during lockdown.
I know, but one week later and we probably wouldn't have been able to go, because you're risking other people's lives, you know. It's not I wouldn't mind going, but you can't expect the camera team to go, Daisy to go, if, you know, their countries are telling them you need to stay inside.
It's also really interesting that, like, I know it was probably just a couple of scenes, but that for such a big show that was being shown, like, across like 3 or 4 different countries at the one time, that I would have expected that to be completely wrapped and done and dusted and, you know, ready to go, like, months in advance.
Yeah, I know. It often depends, but Normal People is always going to be a tight turnaround, because we started shooting at the end of May last year, and we knew that BBC and Hulu wanted it for April of this year. So that's not even 12 months.
Yeah.
And
that's rare. And it's, you know, 12, 30-minute episodes, so it's a lot. And so there was a strict schedule, and, yeah, I basically finished delivering the show think a week before it went on air.
You were so busy. Oh my God.
So, like, Emer, are you the person with the you're actually sending the show to distributors? Like, that is an incredible amount of pressure.
Well, yeah, so it's obviously a team effort, and we work with post-production facilities where the editing is done and the post sound and the visual effects and all of that, and they create the actual files that each distributor requires. So they look after that. And then we tend to have another person who's called the post-production supervisor, who comes in and helps us to oversee the entire process. So she would be very much involved with a lot of the technical side of things. But then a lot of the legal paperwork actually falls on me. So I was doing things like the clearances in Normal People. So if you're, you know, there's a scene where it's Connell's room and you're looking at Connell and Marianne, I'm looking at all these posters that Connell has in the background thinking, you know, do I have a release for that? Do I have everything we need?
Oh my God, of course.
And, you know, it could be anything, clothing, anything they're holding, you know, everything, and for 12 episodes. So I have to do all of that. And you can't do that until you have the final episodes and know what's been used. So we're really up against it with that, but got everything cleared. So it's all good. And then, just huge amounts of paperwork that brought us up to, yeah, Friday before it went on air, I think.
Oh my God. And it's been such a huge success.
And so, Eimear, do you have to get clearance or permission from whoever owns whatever? So say if they're wearing a branded top, or if there's like a like you say, a poster or a piece of art in the background, do you need permission from whoever owns the copyright on that for it to be included?
For a lot of things you do. So any artwork, you definitely would. And in general, we do try to make sure that, you know, when we say, for example, we're shooting in a bedroom, it's not like we just walked into that bedroom and shot there. Everything that's, when you find the bedroom, you take everything out, and then the production designer designs a new bedroom for the character, and we put everything back in. So we should know everything that is on the walls, and we should be getting clearance when we can. But if it was that you're in a supermarket and there are thousands of items all around you, most of the time we say it's fine. There's no, you know, no action is happening in front of the product. They're not saying this is disgusting about the product or anything. So as long as you're not speaking about it, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you had like Coca-Cola and Connell's drinking a Coca-Cola, you would need to get that cleared.
I've heard that, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard that Apple will not give clearance for any baddies in TV shows or films to use any of their like phones or tablets, that only good guys can use them. I don't know if that's true.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd say it is true. There's things as well, like you can't have someone smashing an iPhone on the ground and seeing it shatter.
No, would you please stop?
We all know that happens. My iPhone's
in bits. They don't want anyone thinking. But for Apple, don't want people thinking, oh, their phone shattered that easily.
Connell have a cracked phone, or am I making that up? I feel like I saw something recently where one of the main characters had a cracked phone, and I thought that was a cool addition. I thought it was Connell, but maybe I'm wrong.
Obviously, O'Neill's like signed straight away. They were like, absolutely, stick him in our shorts. Thanks very much. It's the best thing that's been done for the brand in a very long time.
Well, I think the interesting thing is no one at the time really knew. Like, people would have heard of the book, and they're probably like, oh yeah, we'll let him use our shorts, that's fine. And now they're like, Connell wears our shorts.
Yeah, I want a pair of O'Neill shorts. I haven't had a pair of O'Neills since I was about 12, and now
playing
I'm like,
camogie.
Give me them. Eimear, what are Paul and Daisy like in real life?
They are the most lovely people I have ever come across. They honestly are. They're so such kind and easy to talk to, and but I knew they were going to be huge. Like, regardless, I always felt the show would do well, but I knew they'd be overnight success stories because they're so good in it. They're so talented. And they're also just nice people. And even though you sometimes hear that, oh, you have to have an ego to get anywhere in Hollywood, and you don't. You know, the nice people get really far as well. So, yeah, I think the world of them. I think they're great. And I can't wait to see what they do next now.
Do you spend much time on set when you're obviously not in lockdown? Is that a big part of your day?
No, it's not really. So we would basically, the shoot only goes on generally for kind of 4 to 8 weeks. Normal people was different because we were making 6 hours of material. But if it was a film, for example, it might only be 6 to 8 weeks out of, like I said, I could be working on something for 2 years. Mm. It's actually quite a small portion of it. And so I tend to go to set on a couple of occasions, but we have, you know, people that we hire that we call line producers or production managers that basically manage the shoot for us. So we don't have to worry about the day to day, because if anything's stressful, it can be the shoot, because everyone's wanting questions answered, money is spent here, there and everywhere, and you're trying to stay on budget. People are running out of time because it's really strict. Can't go over your 10-hour shoot days or you're into overtime and people have to be paid huge money. So shooting can be really, really stressful. So I wouldn't be on set too often, but I do like to go down and see what's happening and meet people that I'm constantly emailing and speaking with. It's just always nicer to get to know them in person.
And Eimear, you've obviously worked on so many amazingly successful TV shows and films. Like, what's been a career highlight for you? Like, have you ever had a moment that you're like, wow, pinch me, this is incredible?
There's been a few for film, but TV, Normal People, has definitely been it. So as you said earlier, we worked on Double Murders as well, but Normal People was really our first time having a TV project that we solely developed and produced. Mm-hmm. So it's like our child, literally our child. So just to see it do so well and be so loved and really affect people and open up these incredible conversations about consent and mental health and kind of breaking down this stereotype of masculinity that we have is just incredible. I just feel so proud to have gotten the opportunity to work on it. So yeah, I think Normal People is definitely a high, and I'd be excited now to see, because I think it will open a lot of opportunities for us in the TV world, because we'll always be known now as the producers of Normal People. And who knows what will happen next as well with it. Hopefully we'll go on and maybe...
Do you think there could be a second season? I know you're probably going to kill me for that. Like, do you think there could be a season two? What about Dublin Murders as well? I have to ask this.
So for the moment, BBC greenlit Conversations with Friends, which is Sally's other novel. So that's what we're doing next. And hopefully we'll be able to do it soon enough. It's just in this new corona world, we have to figure out how we can safely shoot again. So
is that planned like for next year?
Yeah, hopefully in the next year we'll be able to, all right. But it's still very early days at the moment. So I don't know about Normal People. I did read that Lenny said he'd, you know, like to revisit the characters in 10 years' time. Not that it would take 10 years, but, you know, that it would be them in 10 years' time. But it's just hard to know, because we use the entire novel in season one, so you'd be starting from scratch. So we'd want to make sure that Sally was involved, but Sally is the busiest young writer now, because she's incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to say. And then...
What about Dublin Murders?
Rebecca's fishing for the gossip.
Hopefully, there's a lot of books that need adapting, but I don't have any news on it just yet anyway.
Well, so to go back...
To
go back to your career highs for a minute, you have been to Cannes, Sundance and the BAFTAs, is that right?
I went on your Instagram just to double check, to fact check.
Okay, you're going to have to tell us all about that, because it is our dream to be at the BAFTAs rubbing shoulders with our favourite celebs. So who did you meet? What was it like? What did you wear? Give us all the gossip.
So with the BAFTAs, I was invited to go because The Favourite had been nominated for 12 BAFTAs, I think. It was a huge amount. You know, how often does that happen? So I went to the BAFTAs last year, 2019, and I got to go with someone I work with, which was great, because it's always good to have a friend with you at these kind of things. So I actually found out I was going quite last minute and, like always, couldn't find a dress anywhere.
Typical.
So I ended up getting one by Needle and Thread. You know, it's kind of the best I could do. I was like, okay, it's the BAFTAs. So I got a Needle and Thread dress. They're over in London, obviously, so got my hair and makeup done there. What I have to say is, what was very exciting is that Fox organised the car for us. Searchlight Pictures now, they were Fox, since bought by Disney. But we ended up, they accidentally brought us to the wrong entrance, so I ended up going down the actual red carpet.
Where you belong, my love.
So I got out of the car and Timothée Chalamet got out of the car in front of me, and I was just like, oh my
God,
you're joking. But there's tons of fans anyway. So I went with the two people I was with. We were kind of went down the red carpet and we were looking around, but there was no one there because they were so strict about who could go on it. And all of the actual talent were talking to journalists and getting their photos taken. So I was there for like 10 minutes getting my photo taken by my friends on the red carpet. It's like, and all these fans behind me being like, who the hell is that?
Don't look at her.
Once in a lifetime opportunity. So anyway, went in and there was a bottle of champagne ready to go. So we sat down, took our seats. And I have to say, sometimes award ceremonies are not fun. You'll talk to a lot of people who say they do not like them. But The Favourite started winning and kept winning. So I will say my experience at the BAFTAs was very fun. So it was so brilliant. And I know a lot of the people involved really, really well. Just from working with Yorgos Lanthimos for so long. So I just had a ball. And then there's a goodie bag, I think, for nominees, but not for me. But there is a dinner after that everyone goes to. So it's like a dinner for about, I don't know, 1,000 people. That was really weird. I had such a good time, but I found it so overwhelming because it's obviously not my usual scene.
What was the mashed potato like? Like, what was the food like?
The roll. The
food was nice, but the night goes on for so long that I think I was eating at about 11 p.m. But yeah. I remember giving in my
full
jacket.
Of champagne. It was,
yeah, and but it was the year of Bohemian Rhapsody, so Rami Malek was like giving in his jacket as well. I was like,
stop it!
Amazing.
You Timothée Chalamet and Rami Malek just hanging
crazy.
Out the boxes.
Yeah, it's just so normal for all of them. So I was trying to play it cool, but was extremely overwhelmed by the entire situation. But yeah, it was definitely such a highlight for me, such a treat after, because I actually worked on The Favourite for about 4 years. People worked on it for a lot longer than I did, but I was involved with it for about 4 years, so it was nice for the last hurrah to get to go and see it win. I think we won 7 in the end, and you know, a lot of those people I know well, so it was just really lovely.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Well, you definitely deserved that as well. Your night out after all that hard work.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Emer, come here. Tell us about the Emmys.
Oh, yeah. So the Emmys are the next one now. So again, we haven't really had any dealings with the Emmys because we're so new to TV. But we had an inkling, and Hulu kind of believed that normal people might be big and do well. So they asked me and a couple of others if we would apply to become members so that we'd be able to vote for normal people to be nominated.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So there was a production executive branch. So I did the application, and you have to give your IMDb and your LinkedIn and all of this. And I honestly didn't know if I'd be accepted, because sometimes in the States, because it's a US company and the Television Academy, sometimes the executives there are, you know, CEOs, like really the guys at the top. So I wasn't sure if I'd get in, but it was about 3 weeks into lockdown, I think, I got the email that said I'd been accepted. So that was definitely a high.
You've had a great quarantine.
It hasn't been bad.
A hit TV show accepted to the Emmys.
Yeah, your best life.
So now what happens is I get to vote. So I only get to vote for certain categories originally, because I think the actors all vote for the actors, the directors all vote for the directors, and then once the nominations are announced, I get to vote for everyone. I think that's how it works anyway.
We'll have to have you back on to tell us about that. Holy Jesus, that's so exciting.
It's crazy, where it's amazing.
And the crazy thing is, I don't know what's going to happen this year, because the Emmys are always in September, but I just can't see people traveling to the States. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I hope normal people get nominated anyway, and we'll take it from there.
I think it definitely will.
It'll do more than get nominated.
Exactly, Brendan.
And Emer, what are you working on next? I know you said Conversations with Friends. Is there anything else juicy in the pipeline? I know that you obviously as well produced Jack Rayner's short movie, Bonya. Was it last year or the year before too? Are you working on anything else?
Yeah, so I produced another lockdown special. So I produced Jack's film. We shot it in 2018, finished in 2019, and it went to the Galway Film Festival last year and won Best Debut Short, which is great. And then it was commissioned by Sky Arts. So on Paddy's Day this year, it was broadcast on Sky Arts and is available on Now TV now.
Brilliant.
That was another bit of excitement, because it's always nice. Sometimes when you make a short film, you don't know if it's actually going to go anywhere. So to know it was going to end up on Sky Arts and that people would be able to access it on Now TV was amazing. So that was another bit of a thrill at the start of lockdown. And then next up for us, so at the moment I'm working on a film called Herself that premiered at Sundance, which is why I was at Sundance earlier in the year. So that again is a Dublin set story about a woman who leaves a domestic abuse situation with her children, ends up homeless, and tries to figure out a way to possibly build herself a house because she can't get one due to the housing crisis in Dublin.
Wow.
So it's a really nice film. It was bought by Amazon when we were over in Sundance, which was so exciting.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's all go. So I've been busy working with Amazon, which is great because I've never worked with them before, but they've been really nice. Because again, sometimes when you're working with these big studios, you just expect it to be really strict and unpersonable, but everyone's been lovely. So it's been really, really nice to get to work on that. Hopefully.
Are you guys doing, Oh My God, What a Complete Ash thing as well?
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah,
Emer, you must be up the wall. I'm just like, my jaw's going to hit the floor here. It's like,
We're busy, but I like being busy, and I really like working on good projects that, you know, are going to be seen on an international stage, really. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, I think of Irish films as just little films you see on, you know, the local broadcast or whatever, but we're always thinking, how many people can we get to see these projects? How are we going to do it? It's been exciting. And Oh My God, What a Complete Ash thing, which is just incredible and so exciting. That's still in development at the moment. So it will be coming up though. And yeah.
Emer, is that going to be a movie or is it a TV series?
It's a film.
Oh, wow. Yeah, oh my gosh. I can't wait to see that.
Same. That's going to be brilliant.
And Emer and Sarah are just so gassed, the pair of them. Like, I can only imagine any of the meetings that you've had.
Yeah, exactly, because they're writing the script, which is amazing. And it's interesting that we're working with them, and then we worked with Sally, who also wrote for people, because it doesn't always translate. And same with Emma Dunne, who wrote Room. Sometimes novelists, writing a script is very different than writing a novel, because you can obviously go into such detail in the novel, and everyone's imagining it in their own head. But when you're translating it onto screen, you have to make sure it makes sense for people in 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever it is. But they're obviously all geniuses that we're working with, because they've been doing a great job so far anyway.
You certainly have. Irish writers, it's brilliant.
Yes, and that's another thing that I love that I get to work on international projects, but I also get to work on Irish projects and have Irish stories heard and seen and enjoyed. And I always still feel so proud seeing Dublin and Ireland on screen. So I get a lot from that as well.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Like, you guys, like just some of the stuff you guys have produced is incredible. Like, it's next level stuff.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I thought my screen paused there for a second.
Smiling.
Oh, fuck. I was like, I'm gone. Emer, you are one of the most hardest working, humble and talented people I've ever met. And I'm so delighted that you joined us on the podcast today. We're thrilled to have you on, Emer. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Emer, thank you so much. Fascinating. Thanks a million.
And keep up posted on Normal People and Dublin Murder Season 2.
Oh, yeah, I will. And I love the podcast. I listen and I actually watch the shows you talk about. So got one big fan here.
You're honoured as well.
And if you ever want to bring us to the Emmys, we'll clear our calendar.
Oh, absolutely. I'll work in the cloakroom. I'll take the jackets.
And I'll give the tickets to Emer, the Rami Malek and the rest.
Emer, did you get to touch Connell's chain?
You know, Connell's chain was not a thing during the shoot.
Do you know where the chain was bought? Where did the chain come from?
Brendan's looking for one.
Do not know. The chain, Brendan, is from Argos.
Is it actually from Argos?
Yeah.
The one he had on.
It costs about €30 in Argos. I think it might be sold out. No surprises there. But, yeah, because in the book, it says he has a chain Argos from Argos,
chic.
I think. Yeah,
it's Argos chic. It's one line in the book that Peggy says. One line. And like, look, and everyone's wearing chains. They look great in
between
people.
The chain and the gas shorts. Like, oh.
Brendan, you're a new man.
But I get so many emails about the chain, and after everything Normal People has done for other subjects, I'm rolling my eyes, being like, seriously,
can we talk about the consent, people?
That's why I asked you at the end of the podcast.
Anyway, Emer, thanks so much for coming on. We've really, really enjoyed chatting to you. Your job sounds fascinating.
Thank you so much for having me.
Fascinating.
Miss you, Murmur.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you soon in person, hopefully.
Bye.
Bye.
Slay Queen.
Sorry, like, what an incredibly fascinating person.
Nice.
I also get the impression that she is flat out busy. Like, flat out.
Guys, the woman's a genius, is all I'm going to say. She's the reason why I have a degree. Like, Emer is a genius. She got like 600 points in her leaving cert. She's so hardworking. She's a real normal person. Like, she's not like up her own. She's just a 10 out of 10.
Like, I completely agree. Like, I'm like, what do I do all day when that woman is like shooting shows off to Amazon?
She's just so into it as well. Like, she's so into making great films and TV. Like, she's just so passionate about it.
Yeah.
But, like, they're doing so well. Like, she joined that company at such a good time as well. Like, everything she's worked on.
Yeah, Element, they're flying.
Like, they obviously had an incredible moment when The Favourite was so big, but they've done so many other little amazing shows. But now I think Normal People, oh, my God, what a complete ashing. Like, the role they're on now is just going to skyrocket them. Like, she will, like, she voted at the Emmys. Are you joking?
That's insane.
Like,
that intimidates me.
Crazy.
I'm incredibly
So I think this is going to be our last little podcast probably for a little while.
Yeah, we had a little announcement. So we had a chat before and we decided that because things are starting to open back up a little bit and we've been doing this for a while now that we think we should wrap up the quarantelli.
The quarantelli, yeah. It served a purpose, but, you know, we are able to, like, leave our homes now. Like, albeit under limited circumstances.
And we will be back very soon when the right series comes along that we can get our teeth stuck into. And we will be back in a room together, hopefully very soon as well, because I miss it.
I know.
That's it. Like, I'm so excited for our old format of, like, recapping the show with theories. Like, that's what I really miss. And this was brilliant. And it was 7 or 8 weeks of so much fun.
Therapy.
Yeah. And I loved it, but I'm so excited to get back talking about a juicy show with a good murder.
So we want to thank everyone so much for listening every week or every second week that we've been doing it, and for sending in all your suggestions for everything that you're watching, which are so helpful. I love adding them to Mon List, which is the size of a small country at this stage. 100%. But I'm going to get through it, honey. I'm going to get through it.
And just because we're not podcasting does not mean we're not active on social media. So keep chatting with us, particularly on Twitter. We want to hear what you're watching. We'll probably be popping up letting you guys know what we're watching, things that are coming up. Like, there's always stuff to chat about.
Yeah, definitely. We're at ShrinePod.
Yes, and drop us an email if you want as well. ShrinePod@gmail.com. We're there. We're ready.
Please do.
And guys, I'll miss you, but we'll be back and it'll be amazing.
We will, yeah. Once we have a show that, like you say, we want to get our teeth stuck into, we'll be back here.
Absolutely.
Drop Marcella season 3. We know you have it ready, ITV.
Yeah, Fingers crossed.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
It's ready.
Like, if she needs to do the last bit in her house on an iPhone, like, we'll pretend that bit didn't happen. We'll just put
just edit it in. She'll be like, hello.
Just flash it in.
Oh, gas. Right, well, we'll talk to you very soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Miss you. Chat to people on Twitter and keep watching great TV.
Stay safe. Stay home. Safe. Wash your hands.
Shrine of Duty.
There's only one thing I'm interested in. One thing only. And that's bent covers.
Shrine of Duty. The official, unofficial podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited-edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.